proud of our guys, how they handled themselves on Saturday. It was a great job of handling weather conditions, handling adversity. Just a great effort as far as giving their all. We had the team played with phenomenal effort the entire 60 minutes. And really, it's kind of a microcosm of the whole season. I mean, they've overcome so much this year and just continue to stay determined and tough and find ways to come out with victory. And they, after starting 0-2 in the Pac-12 conference and then some personnel challenges and then the setback at Arizona State. I mean, when you look at all the things that have happened, to have these guys where they are right now is a real credit to them and their toughness and their guts and their determination and all that type of stuff. So as far as the game itself on Saturday, slow start again, which is kind of been a recurring theme, which is not a positive, but we've been able to most weeks overcome that. Big second half, particularly the third quarter. That was the difference in the game, was the third quarter after coming out at halftime 7-all. And really took control of the game in the third quarter. Jason Shelley, Jalen Dixon, really came alive, and the offensive line played much better in the second half. Defense was good start to finish. 10 havoc plays. We had 7 sacks. The stats said 6, but there was an RPO that was definitely going to be a throw that was absolutely a sack. So we're crediting ourselves with 7 and a couple of interceptions, a fumble recovery on a strip sack. Very good effort, 196 total yards, so many positives coming out of that defensively. Special teams was kind of a mixed bag, not really a big factor in this game, although Matt Gay scored another, 12 points, 3 field goals and 3 PATs, so he continues to be the conference leader as far as kickers, as far as points scored. So anyway, South Division champs, that's a great thing for our guys, and obviously we had happened what needed to happen on Saturday night with Oregon getting it done against Arizona State. So after the smoke had cleared and the dust had settled, it was a positive weekend for us. Questions?
Looking at the strength of schedule for Utah, you, according to Sagarin, you have one of the top 20 schedules in the country this season. In light of just kind of that and the adversity, how much of a relief is it to finally get that Pac-12 South title?
Well, I wouldn't say a relief. It's something we've been working for, and ever since we got in the Pac-12, and I think this was the year that we're probably more equipped to get it done than any other year, particularly from a depth standpoint, being able to withstand some personnel losses. And so, and then you look at, you mentioned schedule. I mean, we played, the 4 top teams in the North. We missed the 2 teams that were, the 5th and 6th team. So from just interconference, it was a tough road to hoe. But like I say, our guys never backed down from anything. They just kept fighting, kept swinging. And it's great to see them write this chapter of Utah football history, because that's what it is. I mean, the first South Division championship, and these guys are the ones that did it.
Are there any major adjustments that you guys need to make because you've locked up the South Division and then you have a non-conference rivalry game after that? Is there an adjustment that you guys make as a team?
Give me specifics. What are you after?
Schedule-wise, any of the routines, does that change?
Oh, no, our process, just how we approach the games and that type. No, we adhere to the same process. Now, it's late in the season, and so your practices have been cut down, but we've cut those down already. It's length of time. You got to start to pare back a little bit on the length of practice and the amount of physicality in practice, because your guys start to get beat up at this point in the year. So we do the same thing. We're doing the same thing that we've done pretty much every year.
With what's at stake in a couple of weeks, do you treat this week, even though it's a rivalry week, as a conference game, as a normal week?
It's a normal week. Yeah, it's not a conference game, but it's just a normal week. Yeah.
And then, what are your thoughts on the rivalry being the last game of the year, as opposed to where it was previous years in the beginning?
I guess ideally you'd like a bye this week and be able to prepare, because we have the 6-day turnaround where whoever we face has the 7-day turnaround, so that's not ideal, but that's how it lays out, and so nothing we can do about it. But I don't think it's scheduled the rivalry game scheduled for the end of the year in the foreseeable future. I think it moves back to early in the season. What's up, Lo?
The payoff is so big for winning the conference title game. Is there any thought to sitting guys either to get them healthy, keep them healthy, avoid targeting suspensions, all of that stuff?
Yeah, what would you do?
Doesn't matter what I would do, Kyle.
Oh, it doesn't? Okay. Well, you know, that's a philosophical question. And, you know, I've heard, you know, several people say, you know, that you should do whatever you can to maximize your chances for the championship game. But that's, you know, that's not our approach. Our approach is one game at a time, and we're not looking past this game, just like we wouldn't look past it if it was anybody else on the schedule. You know, as far as, you know, that strategy, I mean, I don't know what to say other than, I guess, an analogy. You know, thoroughbred horses, you know, they love to run. I mean, that's what they do. They're born to run, and they're born to, and that's, you know, what they enjoy. And our players are warriors, and they're born to compete, and they want to play, and they want to get out there and go to battle with each other. And I don't know how you sell that to your players, saying, hey, we're going to sit everybody and not let you have a chance to finish the season, particularly the seniors. And that's a tough sell. And so even though there are definite pros and cons on both sides of the argument, and it's a legitimate question, I just don't know how you, you know, with the mentality of our players, how you do that.
How did you approach Saturday night? Did you watch the Arizona State game? Did you get people together?
Of course. I was glued to it. Yeah, I mean, it had a huge impact on what we were, what our status was. And so absolutely watched it from start to finish, and it was a great game. I mean, great ball game, and fortunately for us, it came out the right way. Unfortunate for Kinahan sitting over there.
Tramps like us, born to run. Wouldn't it be, though, if you had a conference game, suppose you clinched, and which has happened before, teams clinch and they still have one conference game to go, nobody would be asking you if you were going to sit guys that week, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. So I, you know, it really wouldn't matter who, excuse me, who we're playing. Like I said, the competitive nature of our guys, and just to sit everybody out. It does have, you know, implications as far as the bowl hierarchy. You know, your record, your overall record is a factor in where you get the opportunity to go. And we realize that, you know, and again, not getting ahead of things because we don't do that, but we know how it lays out. But also teams look at your, or bowls look at your record and that type of thing.
Jalen Dixon had a career outing against mm-hmm. Colorado. What has his emergence as a deep threat done for the rest of your offense?
It's been huge. Jalen Dixon has meant to the offense what Max Dupai has meant to the defense. He just has stepped up and become a consistent playmaker for us. He's our, right now, our most potent deep threat, and has tremendous speed. I mean, he's got blazing speed, and you can see him get behind defenders over and over and over. And so that's been a big plus for us this season, is his ability to get behind the defense, stretch the defense.
You've dominated the rivalry lately with 7 straight wins, yet 6 of those games have been what you'd call close. What would you attribute that to?
I don't know. I guess getting each team's best shot. You know, in a rivalry game, each team usually gets the best shot from each other, and I would guess that. But you win by 1 or 40, it really makes no difference. So,
you know, you've talked about the slow starts, but is there some methodical approach to that, where you kind of just take it easy at first to kind of give the defense to suck in a little bit, and then you kind of open it up, or is it just how the game's played out?
No, we like to start with touchdown drive after touchdown drive to begin, and so that's not our strategy. I don't have a good answer for you as to why we haven't been able to start fast in a lot of our games. There's been some games we've got good starts, but no, we want to be as good as we can from start to finish.
Speaking of fast starters, you're looking at one.
Okay.
Question, Kyle. I was going to ask about your senior class. Is there anything special about this group? It's kind of a small group, but they're playing their last game at Rice-Eccles.
There's a lot special about this group, and we only have 11 seniors on scholarship. We have 13 total, 2 walk-on seniors. And so this is the smallest senior class since I've been at Utah, you know, as far as the scholarship players. And they've been phenomenal the entire year with their leadership. Just how they have taken control of the team, and great, you know, really good football teams are player-driven, and the players lead and take over, and these guys have done just that.
And where'd you get those dance moves I saw on Twitter?
I danced on Twitter?
Weren't you dancing in the locker room after?
No, I don't think so. Was I dancing low? I don't usually dance. No.
It was from a prior dance.
Oh. I've been practicing since then. In the event I do dance at any one point, because that was awful. I know what you're talking about. That was brutal. Yeah.
BYU changed quarterbacks in the middle of the year, and you had some awareness of Wilson in high school. What do you think of the way he's played?
Yeah, they made the change about five games ago, and he's done a nice job. He's got a strong arm. He's got some mobility to him, and for a true freshman taking over in mid-season, I think that he's done a good job.
Kind of a two-part question here, but going back to Saturday, that play that Chase got ejected on, did you have any comment on that? And then also, kind of a two-part question, how is it to have a guy like Francis Bernard who can step in and kind of
seamless? First part of the question, and I've been getting those questions all season long, and targeting has really seems to be an arbitrary call and a capricious, is that the right word, Kurt? Capricious call. And random, if you will. And so it's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. What do you think? What was it? Was it targeting? Raise your hand if you think that was targeting. Nobody. Shut up. It's very frustrating, and it's so impactful. You know, it takes our best, you know, certainly one of our best, if not our best defender off the field. And I still don't... like I said, it's just arbitrary. I mean, it seems to be tough to figure out when it's going to get called, when it's not. And, you know, you teach it. We continually, over and over and over, harp on it and teach it. And it still seems to crop up nearly every week.
And then overall, what have you seen from BYU on film so far?
They've had, you know, obviously very good game against Wisconsin. A couple games they struggled, but they play hard. Coach Satake, he's a good friend of mine, and he does a good job keeping them going, but record is 6-5, and they've had some really good moments and some not so good moments, just like just about everyone in the country.
Obviously, you're familiar with Washington and Washington State. Are you going to start game planning for
absolutely
both
not.
Of those?
Nope, not? Absolutely not. It's all about the next opponent. Yeah, there's no looking ahead.
Any more questions? Zach Wilson has some Utah family ties. Did you have any recruiting history with him at all?
We had all our eggs in the basket of the quarterback that we signed, typically, you only sign one a year. There are some exceptions to that. You know, if you get a little bit overloaded, you may sign 0 1 year, or you may sign two. But typically, it's a one a year cycle, and we got the early commitment from our guy, and so that really, was a dead issue from that point on.
When's the last time you talked to or texted Kalani?
Oh, probably a couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I'll test your memory for just a second. The 1988 game, Utah won by like 30 points, and your brother was one that was playing for the other team. It was 57-28. It was kind of the start of maybe the turnaround for Utah. Do you just remember that game at all and what your memories are? And
was that Scott Mitchell, the QB?
Yeah,
and it was at Rice Eccles, correct?
Right, uh-huh.
Or Rice Stadium at that
point.
Were
you there? Or do you remember?
No, I wasn't there. I was, where was I? I was coaching at Idaho State University, and I was up in Pocatello. And I was watching that, obviously. You know, my brother was on the team, and I do remember that game. It wasn't there a Sammy Tasinga got like an interception or something. Some D-tackle got an interception for a touchdown or a fumble recovery. So anyway, I remember quite vividly watching that game. Can't remember all the details. But, yeah, that was, Scott Mitchell played very well that day.
Who are you cheering for?
Well, I'm sure my brother. I mean, brother was was a player, so yeah, blood is thicker than water. Always.
Just to follow up on the linebacker question, your depth at linebacker when you ended up short.
Oh, I didn't answer the second part of your question. Where'd he go? There he is. Let me answer that, and I'll get to you. Francis Bernard. Yeah, what a great performance by Francis. I mean, he came in and we didn't miss a beat. He immediately, I think, the first play, tackle for loss or the first one of the first couple plays he was in. And that's what I'm talking about when you talk about being equipped to continue to compete late in the season when the injuries tend to start to mount up and pile up. That was something that was great to see. And Francis is a good player. We knew that. You know, he just happens to be behind two, you know, really, really good players that have been in the system for quite a while. Sorry.
Just the other day, I guess you had another injury you were talking about, so you really went like 3, 4, 5 deep at linebacker. I was wondering.
Yeah, we had Donovan Thompson who was unavailable, and so we were down to the number 6 linebacker, and Devin Lloyd in the 43 package, and it would have been the fourth linebacker in the nickel package.
I think we ask this every year, but what's your sense of the intensity of the rivalry now as compared to years past?
Well, you know, it seems to be, I mean, every football game's intense. I mean, these guys, like I said, these guys, it's their mentality. They're warriors, and they want to go out and succeed and win. And so, you know, I think it's just been, I haven't seen it, you know, lessen at all. It's all, you know, it seems to be every bit as intense as any other game and anyone before it.
As you look back over the conference schedule, what do you see as maybe a turning point, whether a particular game or a moment with your team that kind of turned the whole tide?
Probably Stanford. I mean, after coming out 0-2 and having our backs completely to the wall, at least at that point in time, we felt our backs were completely to the wall. And to go into their stadium and play as well as we did, I believe they were in the top 20 at that point. I can't remember exactly, but to come in and play, you know, like we were capable of, and that's something we had been waiting for the first four games. We didn't think we had played up to our capabilities, and that game seemed to be a pivotal game for us.
Kyle, you talked about this being a historic thing. Can you compare it to 04, 08? Does this have any similar feel as you progress? Are you going to wait until it's over?
You know, a little bit, but it's different. You know, it's a little bit different than that in some respects. But, and, you know, you're right. Yeah, we won't fully assess everything until it's all finished and done with. But it's, you know, it kind of has the makings of that type of a feel, but we'll see how things play out here.